I just didn't want it to sit on me that I didn't do everything that I could have done to get that role.
Hi, everyone. This is Daniel.
And this is Kara Lee.
And this is the Actor Hack Podcast coming to you from Brooklyn, New York.
And Montreal. Yeah.
We're doing our first telephone interview with Andrea.
Hey, Andrea. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
So, Andrea, tell us where you're from.
Okay, so I'm from Montgomery, Alabama, but my dad was in the military. Finally settled there when I was 4, and he ended up retiring from the military there. And then I went to college in Birmingham at UAB, the Blazers. And I ended up getting a theater scholarship there, which was a really amazing experience. I had fantastic training, and I'm still really close with my acting teachers. And then I, through happenstance, ended up getting an Irene Ryan nomination for a role that I did at a production there. And that brought me to Bob Davis, was with LSU, and he was auditioning for LSU Graduate School at the Irene Ryans the year that I went. I actually hadn't thought about graduate school before I went, and I was like, oh, well, I might as well just audition. So I ended up going there and trucked down to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and life really took a turn at that point.
When you graduated from LSU, where did you go?
I went to New Orleans.
And what made you go there?
At the time, I was in a relationship, and he was from the city, and he was a professional actor that worked, you know, not only from New Orleans, but was working steadily in the city in theater and also in TV and film. And so he kind of hooked me up with his agent at the time, the great Claudia Spiker, formerly with New Orleans Model and Talent. She passed away a couple years ago, but I know she's still around, hovering for so many of us. She was an incredible agent to so many professional actors there. She gave me a start, and in about 2001, I think I started in TV and film. I didn't get my first TV job until after graduate school.
And what was your first?
An ABC Family movie called Pop Rocks, and it was a really cute movie. I played like a secretary. And then my next one, I think my next role, they were like simultaneous. I played in this Lifetime movie called Torn Apart, and I was in a coma. And I remember the director wanted me to have my eyes open. And I was like, but I'm in a coma and my eyes are open. They didn't want me to blink. It was really odd. It was a slow process, obviously, because I waited tables. I was working at Barnes & Noble. But slowly but surely, Louisiana passed their state tax incentives, I think in 2002, and things really started cooking there. Up until Katrina, I worked pretty steadily, and that sort of sidelined a lot of us.
Did you relocate when Katrina happened?
I did relocate because I had to, because, you know, like so many of us, you know, we didn't really think it was going to do much. I mean, until like the day before. So I was with my ex at the time, and we just the Saturday before, we were like, well, we got to go because it was like a monster. And if anyone that could get out, I think, got out. So we drove to Houston, stayed with our amazing friend Stephanie, ended up having to stay with her for like a couple of weeks. Then we couldn't get back into the city because it was closed for obvious reasons. And so we ended up going to our parents' houses, and I ended up miraculously getting a job with the Alabama Shakespeare Festival in Montgomery, Alabama, about 2 weeks later, which was a godsend because I needed a job, and it was a company that I'd always wanted to work for, obviously growing up in Montgomery. So it was a Christmas carol. But then after that, I came, that was that winter, and then I missed Louisiana so much, I wanted to get back. So that's when I came back to Baton Rouge, and I got a place in Denham Springs. We did Tennessee Williams in Quarter Time with John Dennis. And then I was going to move to Los Angeles at that point. But my mentor, JD, asked me to teach at LSU for a year as a visiting assistant professor. And I mean,
was it ever something you wanted to do?
I liked acting already, yeah, because the assistantship that I had at LSU through graduate school, it was an acting training program, but it was a teaching assistantship. So they actually taught us how to teach. I don't know if you remember, we taught 1025 in that program. MFA students taught like an introductory acting and improv class. So it was a little bit crazy because you're like, you kind of get pushed into the room like, okay, you're the teacher now. And you're like, ah! So I did get a job as an adjunct professor at Tulane University for a couple of years. So I had been teaching there, and I think I taught at Loyola at that point one semester. So yeah, I had gained some experience teaching at that point already.
And so at the end of that year, is that when you moved to Los Angeles?
Yeah, then I moved to LA after that year.
And did you have representation out there? Did you have any sort of connections?
I got representation while I was out there, but that was a really tough time because I moved at the tail end of the writer strike. That was really intense. And then following that was an actor strike. That was sort of like, you know, people predicted it, and sure enough, it happened. And then there was this recession, you know, so it was like a really bad time to be out there. I ended up doing a lot more theater. I got to work for Center Theater Group. I worked for a theater called Norris Center for Performing Arts, which is down in Palos Verdes. And by happenstance, I was reading A Streetcar Named Desire. I was really torn about what I was going to do next. An email from a guy named Rusty Tennant. I had worked with, I think it's Southern Rep. We worked together on a few productions. Who had been displaced. Katrina was in Portland working for a theater company called Artist Repertory. They had started rehearsals for A Streetcar Named Desire. They were desperately seeking a Blanche, and would I be interested in being a Blanche Dubois? And I was like, oh, why? Yes! I had a phone interview with the director, John Kretzu, who's a dear friend of mine. And so much to the chagrin of my sister, who was so excited to have me there, briefly, she was like, "What? You're leaving?" I was like, "I'm sorry, I have to go be bland." I left and I went to Portland and I did this play, and it really was an incredible period of my life. I made some amazing friends and ended up going back 1 year later to do Tracy Lett adaptation of Three Sisters at the same theater.
During this time, you had representation in Los Angeles and in New Orleans?
Yeah, because I was still with Claudia, and I had gotten an agent through a couple of connections out there in Los Angeles. Her name is Amber. I'm still with her. She's with Coast to Coast out in LA. She actually came up to Portland and saw me in that play. And so, yeah, at that point, I did. I had two agents. And I still do. Actually, now I have three because of Canada. I'm a resident here, so I do have Canadian representation.
After you did the shows in Portland, did you go back to LA?
I did. I went back to LA, and at that point, I had been in this long-distance relationship with this French guy. And he and I were, you know, really far apart because he was in France and I was out there. And it was it gets old after a while. We had started to talk about me moving back and him trying to get over here. And I had pretty much made the decision to move back to New Orleans. And sure enough, right before I left, I went to this audition at Center Theater Group. This is when I got that job. And I booked it. And it was this theater company that I'd always wanted to work for. It was a play by Lisa Crone, who did Fun Home. But this was, you know, she did Fun Home way after this. This was the play called In the Wake. And it was a world premiere of her production. And I ended up getting cast in it. And so I stayed and did that play in Los Angeles at the Kirk Douglas. And that play toured up to Berkeley Rep. And then after that, I moved back to New Orleans. My gut just told me I needed to go. I wasn't feeling Los Angeles for me as a place that I could. I just felt like it would take me so long to dig my feet in. And I felt like there was so much work happening in Louisiana, and I missed it so much. And then on a personal note, there was my family, my friends, and this man who I wanted to be closer to. But you just sort of know, you know, when you know, you know.
So when you got back to New Orleans, was there a lot of stuff going on?
Yeah, it was crazy because I had, you know, had certain roles here and there. Most of the roles that I'd gotten on TV and films up to this point were day players. I'd maybe gotten a week, you know, here and there. And I'd gotten a guest star. I did book something in Los Angeles on this show called In Plain Sight. That was my first guest star. But, you know, it was sort of like few and far between. And then all of a sudden, when I got back to Louisiana, I doubled all my credits in 1 year. And that's how hungry I was. I was so ready to just work because I hadn't really worked on camera. And I felt really it just sort of like everything sort of shifted into the right place.
Where do you attribute learning the skills that it took to book all of this film work?
Honestly, experience, trial and error. I mean, my first film role, this was before Katrina, actually it was right during Katrina. My first film role was opposite Hilary Swank. It was in a movie called The Reaping, and I was so scared, you know, because of my theater experience, fear that we have of being too big, you know, on camera, and I definitely had all of that. It boils down to trusting yourself, and I hate myself a lot. I practice on camera for an audition to get an idea of my my eye lines and literally like my hair, my coloring, like what I'm going to wear, just to see kind of how it looks. If I'm going to try like glasses or not, stupid stuff like that. It's sort of experience, and just I feel like more you do it and the more auditions you go on. Now I feel like usually I know if I get it or not before I get the call.
I never really thought about it, but that's kind of the beautiful thing about practicing for a film audition is that you can take yourself and then separate yourself and look at it and like feel how or see how that feels, you know. And a theater audition, you're kind of just like, well, that felt good. I don't know.
we don't tape ourselves in theater. Obviously, it's like the cardinal rule. You know, at first it is hard, you know, because you don't want to like, you're like, oh, my face, so tired of seeing my face. You just get used to it. You stop sort of looking at what you look like and you're looking, you know, now I look at, I know what I look like and I want to look at if I registered that beat on my face, if I'm listening, you know, if I registered the news that I just heard properly. If I'm seeing that person come in the door that enters.
You said in that year you had doubled your credits. When did you leave New Orleans again?
Well, a year later, because by that point, my now husband had gotten a job. Like basically when I moved back to New Orleans, he had gotten a job in Montreal. That was he obviously tried for the U.S. We weren't married at the time, so it was much harder for him to get a work visa. And he was able to get a transfer to Montreal from France. At this point, we had been apart for almost 5 years. Came to a point where it was a really tough call for me, you know. It was like my career started going really well. I started feeling really strong. I was teaching. I had this cute little house in mid-city. But then I had this man that I felt like I really was my partner, supposed to be my partner. And, you know, time is ticking, you know, and got to make a choice. So I went to Montreal under the stipulation that I was able to continue to, you know, that it was a temporary move and that I would be able to continue working as long as I could.
What's the scene like there as far as TV, film, theater?
The theater, it's got so much exciting theater here. Obviously, there is, it's a very bilingual city. French is the first language of Quebec. From my understanding, because I haven't been that active in theater here because that's not kind of why I moved here, but from my friends who are that I have met here who are in theater, I've learned that there's pretty much a divide between the French and the English theater. I think that's something that they're working on. You know, my French is better, but I don't think see me doing any Shakespeare or any classic French theater anytime soon. There is some really exciting theater here, and I've been really blessed to do some workshops with the Montreal Fringe Festival with a couple of girlfriends who are active in the English theater scene here in directing and writing and translating. So that's been really exciting for me. As far as film goes, there is film here. Obviously, it's very limited in the season. Spring and summer and early fall, there's a lot going on.
They film a lot of things in Canada, but is it being cast there or is it being cast in Chicago and New York and then they film there?
There's a lot of Canadian productions being cast here. Absolutely. You know, some are, I mean, Lifetime, for example, there's a lot of cast a lot of movies up here.
How did you get hooked up with your agent there?
When I got here, you know, did some research and shopped around. I submitted myself. I had a reel and my resume and headshot to a couple of agencies. And this particular agency, it's called Amanda Rosenthal Talent. They're in Toronto and in Montreal. And my agent is based in Montreal, Allison Little. And she just was awesome. She just was like, we have to meet. And we met and she was like, totally want to work with you. And so we've been really blessed to work on a few projects here together. I'm hoping that you know, I'll be able to come back sometime. It's been really cool for me as an actor to get to explore a new market, but it's really scary too, you know, because I definitely know what it's like to start over in a new place.
A few different times. Yeah. So then let's talk about Underground. Where did you audition for that? What was that whole process like?
Underground has been super exciting. So after Aquadia, my agent passed devastatingly. She passed in 2014 in the winter. Not long after that, I hooked up with Alexander White agency. He's fantastic. And he, you know, obviously I explained the situation to him that my time here was limited and that I really like to still be submitted for projects. Megan Lewis, the casting director, understood that as well. I was just really blessed to let me submit myself and trust me to get my ass down there if needed to be from Canada. So that's what happened on a few tapes. Finally got this tape tape request from Alex from Megan for Underground. And I saw it and I was like, oh my God. I did a tape and didn't hear anything. And then I heard from Megan and she said, can you get to a callback like in a few days? And I couldn't, you know. I have this young kid at the time. He was like, what, 14 months? And so I thought, that's it, you know, I lost it. And it's just one of those things you just have to sort of say, well, there'll be something else. And they didn't find anyone. So a couple weeks later, she said, there's another callback. Can you come? And I was like, okay, I got to go. So I talked to my man and I was like, I'm going for this callback. Anthony Hemingway and Joe Pekoski, who's the creator. Anthony's the director.
Now, is this a series regular role? Is it recurring? What kind of?
It's recurring.
So you flew in.
They had seen my first tape. I flew in. I did the callback and I got pretty specific direction in there. I didn't feel like, you know, I didn't feel that. I was like, uh-oh, I don't know. I flew back, you know, up here and I was like, I don't know. I didn't have a good feeling about it. So I immediately the next day did another tape based on the direction that I had gotten in that callback. And I sent it to my agent that day. I said, please get this to them and tell them that this is with the direction that I got in the callback. Later that last tape, the reason why I got it.
Yeah. Just like taking that initiative, actually, I know what you want and here it is. I think that's incredible.
Thank you. Well, it's something that I don't know if it's selfish or what, but it's just like, it's this thing that it's like, I've done it enough times that I know that there's just nothing worse than when you know you could have done something and you didn't do it. You know, that's like the epitome of regret. And I just wanted to know if I'd flown all the way down there and done all this. I just didn't want it to sit on me that I didn't do everything that I could have done to get that role. Like I felt good about that last tape. And I thought, okay, well, if I don't get it because of that, then it's just, that's out of my hands. You know, I did everything that I could. So that's why I did it again. And so that I could rest easy in my soul. Thank God, you know, it was like one of those times where your instincts are actually going, you know, no, seriously, this time, no, for real.
How long after did you find out that you had booked it?
Oh my God, it's like a week or two. And then it was so stressful. And then I was waiting. And then I got this, like, you got network approval, but you have to get studio approval. And then ultimately I got the call on a Friday that I got the job, and I was on a plane on Monday with my 15-month-old son, and I had to get a girlfriend down in Baton Rouge to nanny him.
So did it shoot in Baton Rouge or New Orleans? Or where?
Well, it was based in Baton Rouge at the production studios, where the Celtic Studios. It's a really impressive facility now, a lot of sound stages. And so that was the production offices. But it's shot all over Louisiana and various other locations. For example, the exterior of the plantation scenes, it was in a small town called Vacherie, same plantation. But they built the interior of the plantation home on a soundstage in Celtic.
Was your filming sporadic enough that you like got to hang out with Felix a little bit and then went back? Or
yeah, it was a lot of downtime, honestly.
Yeah.
I was cast as a local because I submitted myself as a local and you know, so there was a lot of, I didn't want them to worry about me going back and forth to Canada. So when I left, I was like, okay, I'm here, you know? So there was a lot of wait. It was a lot of downtime and there was a lot of like, okay, you're going to work tomorrow. The reason being because there were so many exterior shots and scenes, the weather was just, you know, summer. It's so rainy and so unpredictable, basically rains every day. And so I was on call a lot. Because they'd say, oh, well, you'll be on call for this scene. We don't know if you're going to shoot it or not tomorrow. So, some, you know, having a child now that I, as an actor, actor is just, it's this whole new dynamic of, gone are the days of just like, oh, you know, I have to learn a 4-page scene by tomorrow. How am I going to do that? Now it's like, oh, I have to learn a 4-page scene or a 7-page scene after he goes to bed tonight. And I have to figure out how to get him to childcare or get a babysitter by tomorrow. You know what I mean? For an audition. It's just like this. It's nuts, but it's awesome. It's awesome. Yeah.
And so how many episodes did they shoot this season?
10 episodes.
And how many were you in?
I'm in 6, a recurring character. So I play Susanna Macon, and she is basically the mistress, the wife of the plantation owner, Tom Macon, played by Reed Diamond. And yeah, we are the proud owner of a giant cotton plantation in Macon, Georgia, owner of many slaves, and several of which decide to take it upon themselves to escape, to find the Underground Railroad to freedom.
What is it like to promote the show when you're kind of like the bad guy?
It's a bit awkward at first, but that kind of went away because I do feel like that it's a really important role because, you know, they were the reason. They were the reason that they were enslaved. So the more accurate we can be, the more important, you know, our role, our jobs are. It's hard. I'm kind of the character that they say, character we love to hate, but you do find with the writing of Misha and Joe's writing that there's a lot of levels to each character. And so as the show progresses, you know, at first when you meet Susanna, you're like, oh, this is just another one of these, you know, plantation mistresses who's just so cruel and evil. But there's every character has a reason for their action. And so there's a bit more revealed as to why she does what she does. And she is the way she is as the show progresses. The writing is just incredible. So it's such an important show. It was the first sort of integrated civil rights movement. It's just a period of time with these extraordinary men and women who risked everything, the cruelest, you know, treatment imaginable, losing their homes. I mean, well, obviously their homes, but their families, people they love for freedom, which is just something, it's unconscionable. So going there, you know, being there on set, being there in Vashri, there were some days it was really hard. You know, there's a lot of feeling the energy, you know, and just the fact how how could this possibly happen not very long ago? Because the mess and the issues that are happening, really universal message that we continue to educate ourselves at this time of our history, better understand, I think, where people are coming from today.
What network is it on?
It's on WGN America. The last episode is on May 11th.
Has there been a talk of a second season?
There has. The second season has been announced. So there will be a second season. They're going to go into production, I believe, this summer. It's really exciting for them. The fans have been amazing for the show. It's exciting to know that this story is going to continue. I'm along for the ride, too. I want to know what happens.
Do you have any notion if you're going to be back for the second season, or is that to be determined?
You know, you never know. I have a hunch that we'll see or hear something from Miss Susanna again. But I wouldn't be so bold as to say definitely. But, you know, you just have to sort of watch the first season and the last episode to see. There's a little bit of a cliffhanger involving her character.
So we'll want to know what happens. Yeah. In the meantime, have you just been auditioning? What has your life been like?
I taught at a college up here in Montreal called Dawson College, which is sort of like a college. It's a system that's in between high school and university. I taught here for about 3 years, mostly part-time coaching as well. I do Skype coaching and worked on a few projects here to audition. Like I just did a tape thing down south yesterday, but I'm going to be continuing to coach. I was teaching some workshops for a while in New Orleans. So I'm working on getting some workshops together for the Atlanta area.
And so do you have representation in Atlanta?
Alex White is my agent for the Southeast. And then Amber with Coast to Coast is my agent for the West. So yeah, they're, you know, and that worked out. They were really concentrated in 2 different regions. So I do, it is my intention once I'm sort of back in the center down there to start submitting again in Los Angeles. I've been trucking it back and forth through customs with a kid, a baby. I'm not worried about a 3-4 hour flight from Atlanta to LA. I feel like I can handle that.
There's a lot of stuff happening in Atlanta right now, right?
There is. It's exciting for them. I mean, unfortunately, in Louisiana, due to a cap that was put on the state tax incentive by the former governor, Jim Dole, a lot of work was driven out of the state. Much of that work went to the state of Georgia, who has no cap on their tax incentive. incentives. So projects are flocking there. The first thing that comes to my mind is about self-taping, because self-taping is so popular now. It's just sort of like now a lot of preliminary auditions, they don't even want you to come in. They want you to do a self-tape first, and then you would come in for the callback. And I run into, especially with moms who are actors, a lot of problem finding somebody to read with you on a moment's notice. My hack would be that you can use the technology that we have in 2016 to get around a lot of blockades that you feel like are in your way. For example, you get somebody to read with you on Skype. You know, I've done plenty of times. There's an actress named Stephanie Honoré, who's a working mom actress, and we do that for each other all the time. If I can't find someone to read with me via Skype, I mean, the live person is a no-go. What I do is have a video software that me to insert my own voice and change the pitch so it sounds like it's somebody else. And I actually did that with my last underground tape. And you have to know the scene so well that you have to react. You have to listen to the lines that are being quote unquote read to you in your head and react to them. And then you have to, when you play it back, you have to be able to read it and make it make sense with your reaction. But hey, you know, whatever you got to do, you got to get it done. And if you don't have time to find somebody to read with you and to set up your Skype, or your Skype, you know, your connection is shitty, whatever, there's all these reasons that, you know, we have nowadays where it's so fast, you can't get somebody in time. Then I've found that, you know, and my husband is the one that, you know, he's so tech savvy. He introduced it to me. He was like, oh, you can just do this. And I was like, this is amazing.
So, Andrea, if you could just tell us how people can find out more about Underground, how they can keep up with you, if you have a website or any of that sort of stuff.
Yeah. So I do have a website. It's under construction right now, so it'll be up in a few weeks, AndreaFrankel.com. So just keep checking back. You can watch Underground on WGN America on Wednesday nights, 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 Central. There's two more episodes in the States of the season, but they will be replaying it, and they often have marathons. You can also, if you have a cable provider, you can watch online on demand. So you can go to WGNAmerica.com.
When your website's up, do you list when you're doing workshops and things?
I do. Also on Twitter. So, you know, I'm on Instagram as well. And I have a Facebook page. I have an actor, director, you know, what have you, Andrea Frankel Facebook page. And so when I do workshops and when I start doing Skype coaching again, that's a way you can find me as well.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah. This has been amazing.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to see you both.
Please check out our website, www.classactorhack.com, and follow us on iTunes, Stitcher,
Instagram,
Facebook, Twitter, and you can email us at podcast@classactorhack.com. Thank you.
If anything, my mother will listen to it.